Evren Odçekin is a Turkish-American director, writer, and arts leader based in New York City and San Francisco. You're listening to The Jefferson Exchange. I'm Charlie Zimmerman. This story was shared in 2020 at the start of his time as associate artistic director and director of artistic programming at Oregon Shakespeare Festival, where he also served as interim artistic director in 2023. He's been with his husband, King Jack Choi, for 12 years.
You know, what's so great about living in Ashland is we get people who come through, itinerant writers and actors, and some of them make a life here. As many of you know, OSF we have a new captain at the helm, Nataki Garrett, and she's bringing all kinds of beautiful people in here. This is one of them. Evren Odçekin, he's a recent transplant to Ashland. He's the new associate artistic director at Oregon Shakespeare Festival. He comes to Ashland from the San Francisco Bay Area, where he's lived for 16 years and worked as a director, producer, and adapter for theater. His favorite job, though, is as the human for an adorable 11-year-old terrier mix called Weasel. Okay, big hand for Evren.
Hello. I've been living in Ashland for 7 months, and I guess this is one way to introduce yourself to a whole group of people. So here we go. I met my husband on Tinder. And this was about 6.5 years ago. So it was at the beginning of the, you know, online app dating craze. And, you know, I was told that Tinder is like Grindr for the straights. And I was like, cool. And I was introduced to it by a straight friend of my very lesbian best friend in San Francisco. And the straight friend was showing us queers this crazy new app they got. And my best friend, my very lesbian best friend, looked at it and said, "I bet you can't meet a man on there." And I responded, "I bet I can." So we made the account right there. And what makes this love story even more improbable is that my husband, Jack, is the first and only man that I met on this app. And, you know, Jack is stupidly handsome, so that was the reason why I swiped right, you know, sort of pointed out my interest. But the thing that really got me interested was his way with language. He was casually witty and sort of effortlessly specific in his language with just like the right dash of tongue in cheek, which is like a really sort of a, you know, makes me a little weak in the knees when a person can do that. So, and you know, this has been going on for a while in the sense that I've always been in love with language. When I was growing up in Turkey, my house was filled with language from when I was very little. I remember loud, passionate, sort of political arguments with a lot of hand gestures around the dinner table. I remember my father playing folk poetry albums on vinyl. I remember quiet Sunday mornings, which were named family reading time, because basically the whole family would spend the whole morning with our noses in books reading in a circle, basically, in the living room. And the big wall of our living room was floor to ceiling, wall to wall bookcase that was just overflowing. Most of the books were of poetry because my dad was such a big fan. And it would just get filled and filled and filled because if my favorite thing was that on Saturday, if you had finished your book the previous week, you were allowed to go to the bookstore and buy a new book. So growing up, Saturday was my favorite day because of this. But even in this family of talkers and voracious readers, I was a little too much. I talk too much, I talk too loudly, I talk too frequently. Another story, a story that my mom likes to tell about me was that because I had to talk even when someone else wasn't around, that I made up an imaginary family. And when she was in the living room, she could hear me playing in my room, talking to my imaginary children, sort of doing a very accurate reenactment of the events of the day from earlier and repeating verbatim and sometimes improving upon and actually commenting on the things she had said to me. So basically my mother's way of dealing with this precocious child who just would not shut up was to encourage my dramatic tendencies. And basically from very, very little, theater has been the center of my life. My very first official performance was in first grade in Turkey. It was for a local produce day. And so, you know, Turkey 30 years ago was actually like ahead of US now in terms of promoting local produce. And I got to play, I got to do a 40-minute monologue as a six-year-old, playing a crazy doctor that was crazy about Turkish fruits and vegetables. And the whole thing ended with like my less talkative but equally adorable classmates wearing fruit and vegetable outfits dancing behind me for the grand finale. So, and you know, all joking aside though, theater has been sort of a home for me for a very long time. And it also has been a home for my love of language. There is something about the way theater allows for language, or rather, a unique voice to be embodied and lifted and celebrated by incredibly talented humans, sort of in front of a large group of people like here, and the idea that everyone gets to understand and feel that language together is just, that feeling is so special to me. And the thing I remember, there's this memory burned in my head, in my mind, of when this happened to me for the first time, where I realized what words actually could do to me. So my parents were teachers, and in Turkey, if you're a teacher, you get to have access to very, very cheap theater tickets. And I'm talking like in today's money, it would be like a dollar per ticket. So, you know, another way 30 years ago, Turkey is way ahead of the US right now. But anyway, I digress. So my parents, when I was nine, took me to the Istanbul State Theater to watch Blood Wedding, which kind of tells you everything you need to about to know about them. You know, taking a nine-year-old to this play that's about death and love and lust and marriage. And all of those things I'm pretty sure went over my head. I don't remember that part. But the part I do remember is the Moon monologue. It's Lorca's language, this beautiful monologue in that play. To this day, I think, one of my favorite pieces of writing ever. This young man with a lantern was standing on top of this beautiful ladder. And there were mountains around him made of rope. And he was up there and he just spoke Lorca's beautiful language with such clarity, but also so effortlessly. And I remember I was nine, sitting in the seat, shaking. And I didn't know why. I still actually don't know why I was shaking, because I don't think I understood maybe the words, but I understood what they meant. And that was really special to me. And as a director and a producer now, that feeling is what I'm chasing every day. That feeling of what words can do to you emotionally, you know, not here, but here, when they're spoken clearly and effortlessly with generosity by a human being, what that can do to you. And I did get to direct Blood Wedding about two decades later in English, and that was real gift, getting to dig into this play that had so moved me, you know, two decades before. But what was so interesting was that I got to direct the play in English. Now, Turkish is my mother tongue. English is my new home. And it's a language that I love. I live in it. I think in it. For a long time now, I dream in it. But English is truly a Puritan language, especially in America. And bloodwedding in Turkish was passionate. Because Turkish, like Spanish, is a passionate language. You can look at someone in the face and say, "My loins ache for you," with a straight face, and nobody bats an eye. In English, if you say that same sentence, like just happened, the audience laughs, as we found out through the performances of this production I directed. But I really, really digress now. Tinder. This will all come together, trust me. So Tinder, like most online dating apps, is not really known for its welcoming nature for, I don't know, linguistic refinement. For especially the gay versions of these apps, the opening lines tend to be, you know, "What's up?" "You looking?" And my absolute favorite, "Hey, bro," which is like, "Have you even looked at my pictures? Like, do you feel like there is any bro happening over here?" And I do think it was that difference that really set my husband, now husband, Jack, apart. Because he was, as I said, like, effortlessly eloquent, even when he was texting me about attending a Jonas Brothers concert. And now, just to prove my point, I will do a dramatic reading of our very first Tinder conversation. "I'm sorry, babe." "Jack, I'm just getting back into San Francisco from the office, heading to a concert at the America's Cup Pavilion. In parentheses, please don't look up who's playing." After I Google and find out it's Jonas Brothers. "Evren, I'm so judging. Although I have on occasion checked out the Tumblr about Nick Jonas's ass, so I guess who am I to judge? I do like Carmen, though." Carmen was the opener band for Jonas Brothers. Jack goes, "I'm totally here for Carmen." This is me just saving face. "Evren, sure you are." Smiley face. "I do have a real high/low taste in music too, so it's all good with me. I mean, I was dance walking to Kylie Minogue all the way home." Jack, brownie points? Evren, "You are a gay man after all." Jack, "I just know how to play to my audience." Evren, "I so appreciate that skill in others. I call it selective truth-telling in flirting." Jack, "The terminology is exquisite, dear sir." Evren, "Thank you. Word selection is a specialty, yes." Jack, "And proper grammar is an aphrodisiac, some would suggest." Evren, "For me, it is." Jack, "Didn't see that one in our shared interests." Evren, "I'm surprised it's not in my self-description. You're cute, spelled Y-O-U-R. Never quite did it for me." Jack, "Contractions are often a sign of laziness." Evren, "You're cute equals lazy in bed. Intriguing assertion." Jack, "Yes, sir." Evren, "I do love a formal man." So, 6 years after that tete-for-tat, we are married. And what's so interesting about this for me is, you know, as a language-obsessed man who's in love with words and images and embodied experiences, you look for your love in all sorts of places. But turns out your effortlessly witty, formal, and stupidly handsome husband is actually in the unlikeliest of places of all, Tinder. Not bad, bro.